Good morning. Please be seated. Welcome to Burlington East this morning, this beautiful sunny day. If you are a visitor with us, please sign the guest book in the register and join us for fellowship downstairs following the service. There are lots of announcements in your bulletin and a few I have been asked to bring to your attention. Today will be the picnic tickets will be on sale. So the picnic is at Creep on Sunday, June the 26th. It's a great day, so bring your rubber boots and raincoat or your sun hat, whatever the weather brings. We also have Blue Jay tickets that will be, the tickets will be on sale for today as well, and the game is July the 3rd. The women's choir, if you would like to sing at the Father's Day service next Sunday, please join Renata after the service today and bring your voices.
There were a couple of things I wanted to point out today. My weekly or bi-weekly, however often I tend to, whenever it goes out, email from me included a survey. So some of you may have seen that, and it was a survey talking about our intergenerational services. However, if you didn't see that email or don't get email, I have some copies of it on paper at the exit, which you can fill out very quickly. There's just 9 real quick questions. You can fill it out and just leave it. You don't have to sign it. And it's just to help us do some planning, certainly over the course of the summer as we move into the fall. Strange that we're talking about that already, but just so we can get some planning done. So I'd appreciate your help with that. I just got a call from Margaret Rivett regarding Jack just before the service began, and Jack is doing okay, not to worry, but he's had a bit of a bloating problem in his stomach, so they've had to put a tube in to help deal with that, and so we'll be praying for Jack, but Margaret has just asked that no one go visit just for a few days anyway, if anybody was thinking of that, so he can rest and get over that. The other thing I wanted to mention too was if you want to get envelopes for the church here for your donations rather than filling them out every week, you don't need to be a member here at Burlington East to get those envelopes. So certainly if you're interested in getting envelopes, again, so it saves you that time and you can bring the envelope along with you. You can speak with Renata. And Helena's not here this morning, but Helena also. But Renata is in the office every day through the week, so you can speak to her today or give her a call and she can set that up for you very quickly. The last thing I wanted to mention is this afternoon at 3 o'clock we'll be having a special service here, service of remembrance, and I was thinking about that in doing the planning. We've done this before. It's not entirely just a service of remembering those who we may have lost in our lives, and certainly that's a part of it, but it's also for folks that might be feeling just a bit stressed because of health or feeling a bit lonely or a bit isolated or just generally just want a quiet time before God, and that's what this afternoon service would be. So if you please could make that. It's only a half hour, and then we'll have some quick refreshments afterwards to come out this afternoon at 3, and we can have a time together to hear some music, hear some scriptures, and just be contemplative about our life and those lives that we know that maybe are no longer a part of ours anymore. I think that covers the announcements for now. We'll take a moment.
I have one more.
Oh, you do? Sorry,
go ahead.
Okay.
We are still looking for volunteers to run the church school through the summer.
Thank you.
Any hobbies that you have or songs that you can teach or anything that you can do with a group of children would be greatly appreciated by the teachers.
And I'm just going to double up on that, because if you don't, we don't get the volunteers, you're going to get voluntold. And you don't want to do that, because I'm going to come around, you know, and I'm going to bring Brenda and Susan, and, you know, it's just going to... I know there's lots of time that everybody could spend just doing, spending some time with kids on a Sunday morning, just helping them out. We've got lots of kids now, and it just gives our teachers a bit of a break, especially over the course of the summer. So I know you're out there and you're willing. Just don't let me send Vinny. That's all I'm saying. Sorry. Let's prepare our minds and hearts for worship this morning. We light the Christ candle this morning, and as we do, we're reminded that Christ's light is in the world, lighting a way for us, a way that frees us from the guilt and the bounds of sin. Amen.
In the morning, O Lord, you hear our prayers. Through the abundance of your steadfast love, in the holiness of your presence, please join us for our first hymn number 374.
God of the oppressed hunts evil as a lioness stalks prey, so that sin cannot hide in high or low places. But the Holy One, our God, also forgives all who repent. Let us come before God with our confession, our adoration, followed by the Lord's Prayer. Let's bow our heads in prayer. God of all nations, your just rule is the measure of every law. Your compassion instructs every ruler, whether they think so or not. May the people of the earth heed your call, the call of your prophets for justice and kindness, and may all trust your love revealed in the cross of our Lord Christ Jesus. God of justice and mercy, we confess that we often disobey your will. We show neither justice nor mercy very often to others. We are so wrapped up in doing what we want, our way, that often that's manifested in itself, and we end up hurting others and stepping off your way and in turn hurting you. Christ, you are love incarnate to us, and very often it seems we take that love for granted. We don't give of ourselves. We don't rejoice in the blessings we receive. We forget because we get caught up often, and the excuse is we're caught up in the moment. We're caught up in the fury of the day. Help us in this moment, Lord, to take a moment to just stop and breathe and remember. Remember that you love us with an unending love, that you have given your life to break the bonds of sin, to conquer that death that is in this world, and pour your life and your love on us all. Help us as we pause for this moment, Lord, to be thinking of the times when we've stepped off your path, when we have not forgiven, when we have not been thankful, when we have not done the things you call us to be doing as Christian people. Help us to turn from our sins, that's what they are, so that we can love you, and then by doing so, joyfully care for others, and ultimately you. We pray this now together, Lord, the prayer that Jesus taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Jesus said to the one who had sinned much, Your sins are forgiven. The cross of Christ stands as the sign. That cross right there stands as the sign of the love of God that lives in us through faith in the grace of God's love and forgiveness. In the power of Christ's Spirit, our sins truly are forgiven. guitar in the background. I was all set for that. That was a great piece. Thank you. Yeah, that was a very nice piece. It fits very well with what we're going to be doing now, too. We are people of faith. Well, today is we're going to be participating in, I guess I'm going to call it the second of the two sacraments that we recognize here in the Presbyterian Church in Canada, the first being communion is the sacrament, and the second being baptism. And we have a special baptism, and I will not call him up just yet because I've got a lot I want to say first, and then we'll get you up here. And I want to say a number of things because today is a different kind of baptism for us in this particular congregation, I want us all to be really thinking about your baptisms too. It's very important. It's very important for us all to remember our own personal baptism. And we're going to be talking a little bit about that in the service this afternoon as well, and how baptism sort of connects us with our whole kind of life from beginning to end in so many ways. And baptism represents the beginning of a new life for us. And so in talking with the individual that's getting ready to come up here today, there's some commonalities, I know, certainly between myself and him. And baptism for me was done out of faith as a child. And it was a baptism where my life began, a journey that I didn't know would end up where it is even today. And certainly all of us can claim that. Baptism from when we're children is often done as a step of faith by our parents or grandparents or other relatives possibly, hoping that as we read in the different scriptures that God is holding us and directing our paths and taking us on a particular journey. And as we grow up and become adults and we become conscious of that, we make a decision in our lives very often that, yep, I'm going to confirm that baptism and I'm going to make a decision to follow God in so many ways. Baptism is a gift from God. It's a gift given to all of us. Gift given to us as children, gift given to us and every piece in between. And in the liturgy that we use at funerals, often use anyway, we talk about our baptism becoming complete as we die. And what that's saying is that we've gone through this world and now we're entering into the kingdom of God, into God's presence. That claim of freedom and that claim of Christ on our life is now complete at the other end and then continues on. With visible signs and words of promise, God moves towards us to claim us as children of this new covenant in Christ, that cross that we pointed to, that forgiveness of sins, and moves us to become members of the household of God. In baptism, God acts to unite us to Christ and to deliver us from the power of sin and death, call us into a new life of growth, a new life of service, and a new life as part of God's family represented in a congregation such as this. In the sacrament of baptism, the church recognizes God's covenant of grace. Those are fancy words, in a way. Covenant of grace. Covenant is a promise. Covenant is a contract, even more specifically. And grace is what God has done for us freely. God has made a contract to love us and forgive us. That's His grace. And it's there for all people. Baptism helps us to see that even yet again. We, the church, we receive God's gift with reverent joy and respond in faith and obedience. Remember the words of Peter on the day of Pentecost, what he said. He said, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, so that your sins may be forgiven, and you'll receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, for the promise is for you, for your children, and for all who are far away, everyone whom our Lord calls." Hear the words of Christ Himself. "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey all that I've commanded you, And remember, I am with you always to the close of the age. Now, in one of the statements that I made in recent weeks, when we were doing our membership sort of information session, I made a statement that Presbyterians really don't have any doctrine, and that's absolutely true in some regard, but that doesn't mean we don't believe anything. What we do believe is that all our understanding of God comes from Scripture. And what we've put together is a statement of living faith, it's called, and that living faith helps us to point to the Scriptures and point to the statements that Scriptures make. So it's not doctrine particularly, but it's statements literally of faith. And in that living faith, it says this about baptism. Baptism is a sign and seal of our union with Christ and with His church. Through it we share in the death and the resurrection of Christ and are commissioned to His service. In baptism, water is administered in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. The water signifies the washing away of sin, the start of a new life in Christ, the gift of the Holy Spirit. By the power of the Holy Spirit, God acts through baptism. It is a sacrament not of what we do, but what God has done for us in Christ. God's grace and our response to it are not tied to the moment of baptism, but continue and deepen throughout life. It's the ignition, if you like, in our lives is what it represents. It is a sacrament meant for those who profess their faith and for their children. Together we are the family of God. Baptism is also an act of discipleship that requires commitment and looks towards growth in Christ. Those baptized in infancy are called in later years to make a personal profession of Christ. What is born may die, what is grafted may wither. Congregations and those baptized must strive to nurture life in Christ. Baptism assures us that we belong to God. In life and in death, our greatest comfort is that we belong to our faithful Savior, Jesus Christ. Some of those statements refer to growth, and that's why there's a part of this baptism process where you're involved as a congregation, because baptism is joining into this family being with a capital F, I'll say, because it's at larger, this congregation, but the church at large. But our responsibility as congregation is, as people are baptized, infants or otherwise, our responsibility is to nurture their spiritual growth. You don't just get baptized and that's the end of it. Baptism is the ignition that begins the lighting of the fuse, if you like. And you've got to keep that fuse going. And it's our responsibility, family of God, to make sure that that happens. Hear the words again of the risen Christ one more time from Matthew 28. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey all I've commanded you. And remember, I am with you always to the close of the age. So obeying the command of Jesus and believing in His promises, this church and all churches baptize those whom the Lord calls. God acts for us in baptism as God acted for our salvation from the very beginning of time. And by the waters of baptism and the power of the Holy Spirit, God claims us and calls us, each one by name. God unites us to Christ in His death and His resurrection and grafts us into the body of Christ as members of His church. God washes us clean by forgiving our sin, commissions us to be a royal priesthood with Christ in His ministry to the world, empowers us to live in newness of life as people of the Word, and invites us to be renewed as at the Lord's table, this very table, until we feast again with Him in glory. By grace, we all have been saved through faith. This is not of our own doing. It is the gift of God. And that's found in Ephesians. So, who comes to receive this gift of baptism? Yep. I've got a pillow for you for your knees. I'm going to get you to stay there. Go ahead, Bob. Say your thing.
Ready?
Yep.
On behalf of the session of Burlington East Presbyterian Church, I present Bryce Lowell for baptism.
Now, you can see, we don't really have babies, and I'm not going to carry Bryce as much as I'd like to later on. But Bryce is a nice young man who's come into our congregation just recently and wants to become a member and has never been baptized. And so this is his opportunity to do that and make his profession of faith. And we're very excited about that on this day. And it's something new that we've not actually done here before. So you're the first one in the pool, buddy. And there isn't a pool. We're going to get one to kid you around. I wanted to get an inflatable one at the front here and kid you. So it was full immersion, bud. I'm going to have you just stay there for 1 second while I get my notes organized here and get the water from the communion table. Thank you, Bob. I want us to listen. It's important to listen to this. That's the life-giving water. Without this, there is no life in that sense in our world. And it's a great symbol that's been used in this sacrament for baptism. It is a symbol that cleanses. It is a symbol that nourishes. It is a symbol that makes us well. And it's a great symbol for baptism in that sense. It's a symbol that it gets used to help us renew and be reborn. Now I have some questions for you, Bryce. Come on over here. And you're just going to respond real simple. You figure it out. Trusting in the gracious mercy of God who has been faithful to us in all generations, do you turn away from sin, renounce evil and all powers of the world that rebel against God or oppose God's rule of justice and love? Do you renounce the way of sin which separates you from the love of God? Do you turn to Jesus Christ, accepting him as Lord and Savior, trusting in his grace and love? Do you desire, in dependence on the power of the Holy Spirit, to mature as a Christian in the church, to seek guidance of Christ as you listen for his word, to celebrate his death and life at the table he provides, and to engage in his mission in the world? Congregation, I'd ask that you please stand, because here comes your part. Bryce, I'm going to have you turn around so they can look at you right in the eye when they give their answer. And you look right back, because I want everybody to answer honestly here. Do you, congregation of Burlington East Presbyterian Church, the Church of Jesus Christ, promise to guide and to nurture Bryce by word and deed, with love and in prayer, encouraging him to follow the way of Christ and to be a faithful member of Christ's church? Very good. Thank you. You may be seated. That was a good answer, right? Yeah, they're very good about that. I would ask everybody, if you can, to also... I'm sorry, I'm going to get you to stand one more time because I want us to recite the Apostles' Creed together. It's right there. And we're going to recite it as printed in our hymn books. And it's... What number is that, Bryce? 539. So he's already participating in church. That's good. Let's stand and say the Apostles' Creed together. Thank you, Bob, by the way. I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen. Please be seated. Let's bow our heads in prayer for a moment. We give you thanks, O gracious God, for the gifts of water and of your Spirit. In the beginning, when your Spirit moved over the waters, you gave order and life to your planet Earth. By the waters of the flood, you cleansed the earth and established with Noah and his family a new beginning for all people. In the time of Moses, you led your people out of slavery through the waters of the sea, making covenant with them in the new land. In the fullness of time, you sent Jesus Christ, who was formed in the water of the woman's womb. In the water of the Jordan, Jesus was baptized and anointed by your Holy Spirit. In his ministry to the world, Jesus offered living water to the woman of Samaria, washed the feet of his disciples, and sent them forth to baptize all nations by water and the Spirit. And now with all your people of all times and places, we wait with eager longing to look for the city of God from which will flow the river of life for the healing of all nations. Gracious God, by the gift of water and your Holy Spirit, you truly do sustain all life. This water here, Lord, this water here that we can hear, this water here that cleanses, this water, Lord, by the power of your Holy Spirit and this sign you cleanse from sin, all the death that is in this world, that Christ conquered that death. And those who receive this sacrament, you raise them to new life through his resurrection, and you graft them into his body, the church. Lord, pour out your Spirit on this person standing here, your child, that he may have the power to do your will and continue as a servant of Christ, to whom with you and the Holy Spirit be all honor and glory forever and ever. I get you to bow on your knees there, Bryce. Both knees. I'll get the towel there, Bob. Thank you. Bryce Lowe, I baptize you in the name of the Father, and in the Son, and in the Holy Spirit. God bless you. God be with you, and God keep you. God be with you now, and may the Spirit of God dwell in you and uphold you now and forevermore. Amen. Take your forehead off you. See what love God has given us, that we should be called the children of God. And so we are. Bryce, you are now received by Spirit of Christ, by his appointment, by this sacrament, into the Holy Catholic Church. It's a small C, by the way. It's the world church, the church around the world, the global church. Through this act of baptism, God has made you a member of the household of God to share with Christ and the priesthood of all believers. Remember your baptism and give thanks for it and be one with us in this congregation. Now, I don't carry you, I'm not going to carry you around, but I am going to walk you down the aisle. I'd like everybody just to kind of welcome him. Okay. Bryce, you're going to come back up with me too. Don't sit down. Nope. You're going to come back up. He's got one more step to do. And I need Ray to come up here too. I need Ray Paquette to come up here. You can just stand here for the moment. We'll get that to him in a moment. Ray, come on up here. Now, I don't know if I told you I was going to bring you to the front or not. We were back and forth about that, I know. Well, I'm going to bring you to the front, and you're going to face this way. Now, I'm not going to go through all the questions we normally would do for membership. Ray is joining our church by transfer of membership and okay by the session and whatnot. What's the church you were at in Ottawa, was that?
St. Andrews in Carlton Place, Ontario.
Carlton Place, that's right, St. Andrews. So he's moving here. So we have a new member by transfer, and we have a new member by baptism, and I'd like everybody again, welcome them, please. And if we have any elders here today, I'd like you to come up and just right hand of fellowship, welcome them in. Okay, I'll just get you to stand beside each other, and I'll start the line off. How's that? God bless you. Thank you. God bless you, Ray. Thank you. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Gracious God, we praise you for calling us to be your people, for gathering us to be the church, the body of Christ. We thank you for leading our brothers and sisters all here this morning, gathering as a family. And we thank you for our two brothers at this time in their affirmation of their gifts and their baptisms. Together, Lord, may we live in your Spirit, grow in faith and hope and love, and be faithful disciples of Christ, to whom, with you and the Holy Spirit, we give honor and glory. Bryce Lowe, child of God, may you walk and live in spirit, increasing daily in the gifts of love, joy, and peace, and patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control as all one who belongs to Christ our Lord. And Ray Paquette, child of God, may you too walk and live in the spirit, increasing daily in the gifts of love and joy and peace and patience and kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control as one who belongs to Christ Jesus our Lord. Thank you. God bless you. You can return to your seat, Ray. Thank you very much. I have one thing I want to just pass to you, Bob, and I have this. It's we give this normally to the parents when the baby's being baptized. So what's in here is your You got a certificate, and we've got a Bible for you. And there's a candle in here. Now, the candle is in there so you can light this 1 year from today as a ceremony kind of on your own, just to remember your baptism. God bless you. Thank you, everyone. God bless you. Thank you. Let's join together and we'll sing our children's hymn, because I am going to have the children come forward still after this. So we'll sing verses 1 and 2, Child of Blessing, Child of Promise, number 521, and the children come forward during the second verse for a time together. Lots of you this morning. That's a good thing. How was everybody today? When's school end? June the 30th. So a few more weeks. So I guess the week after the picnic, right? You'll be here in 2 weeks will be the picnic, and then that later on that week it'll be the end of school. Are you excited about the end of school coming up?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Are you going to have a picnic, eh? Well, today we just had a baptism, and we talked about being free from sin and whatnot. And I was going to just do a really nifty magic trick here for you. See, I'm tied up, I can't get out. Oh, I'm all bound up, I can't get out. Oh, somebody help me get out. What are you laughing at? What? Oh, yeah, well, I guess I wasn't really bound up at all, was I? It's not really much of a magic trick if I can just do that, is it? You know, this is what sin can be like for some people. And it involves this word here. I'll show it to the grown-ups and then I'll show it to you. Grown-ups, there's the word. Boys and girls, what's that word? Somebody shout it. Guilt. Hey, everybody. What is that? What is guilt? Yep. You did something bad and you feel bad about it. That's a good example. That's a very good example. And this is what I was trying to represent as guilt. I'm bound up by something, but really I'm not. Does that make any sense?
Yes.
Yeah, I know. For lots of people it won't. Can you explain it maybe a little? How would that mean? Well, how would this relate to guilt?
Because when you're guilty, you're
yeah. Yeah. That's exactly what happens. Sometimes when people feel so guilty about something, they get so bound up and they can't feel like they can't do anything. But you know what? God doesn't want us to be guilty. He doesn't want us to be filled with guilt that we can't move. He wants to free us from that guilt. And he does that because of Jesus' sacrifice on the cross. It frees us from our guilt and our sin. It frees us to be free people. It frees us so that we're not trapped by things. So it's more than just feeling bad if you've done something that's not good. You need to repent from that. That means stop doing it. You know, the word repent means to turn around. Now, does that mean this kind of turnaround? Does it mean this much turnaround? I think it does, and I'm going to tell you why. Because if I'm walking in this direction, and I'm not walking very well, because I'm trying to pretend I'm being naughty about my walking, and I say, you know what, I'm going to repent. I'm going to stop doing that. I'm going to turn around and walk differently. See, I'm not walking the same direction I was. I've turned and gone a different way. That's what repenting means. It means to stop doing what you're doing. So, if I do this, I'm really sorry, I shouldn't be doing this. It's really bad, I shouldn't be doing this. I'm slapping her hand, by the way. I shouldn't be doing this. I'm really sorry. Have I stopped doing what I'm doing?
No.
Am I really sorry? I'm kind of stuck, aren't I? You think I should stop? Well, repenting means I do. I actually stop and give you a kiss. You're all better, and I'm all better. We're free from guilt. We're free from sin. And that means that we change what we do. So sometimes if we're doing something that's naughty and we say we're sorry, it's not enough. We have to stop doing that and do something different, something better. Can we all get in a big circle and have a prayer together? That's all. Yep. Do as best you can. Get in a circle-ish, lumpy circle works. You want to come in? Oh, he wants to come in there? All right, we'll get you in there. There we go. He wants to play his sister. That's it. Her friends. Okay. It's almost a circle. That's good. Let's all bow our heads and you can stay after me. Dear Jesus, we thank you that you free us from guilt and sin. Help us to repent and turn around. We pray in your name. Amen. Thanks, boys and girls, and off you go to Sunday school. Thanks for your help, too. Yes. We'll sing the last two verses of our hymn Seated now. To hear God's word read this morning, let us bow our heads in prayer for a moment. Holy One, when your prophets speak justice by the Spirit, the powerless can clap their hands. When your Son declares forgiveness, sinners can cry tears of joy. By the power of your Spirit, open our ears to your word and move in our hearts to respond in a way that truly honors you. And we pray this in the name of Christ our Lord. Amen. A responsive psalm is found in your Psalters in your pews. Psalm 32. Psalm 32 is a penitential psalm of the Christian tradition. There's a pile of them that fall into that. But Psalm 32 is actually an individual thanksgiving psalm, which we'll see. It celebrates the forgiveness of sins, a wonderful psalm to be reading this morning during our celebration of church membership and baptism. This is a complex psalm in some regards, but it is just someone who is very happy to be forgiven. A reader? Arna, sorry, there you are. I knew you were around somewhere.
Psalm 32. Blessed are those whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. While I keep silent, my body wasted away through my groaning all day long. Then I acknowledged my sin to you, and I did not hide my iniquity. Therefore, let all who are faithful offer prayer to you. At a time of distress, the rush of mighty waters shall not reach them. I will instruct you and teach you the way you should go. I will counsel you with my eye upon you. Do not be like a horse or a mule without understanding, whose temper must be curbed with a bit and bridle, else it will not stay near you.
Thank you, Arna. Our Old Testament reading comes from 2 Samuel chapter 11, and beginning at verse 26 and then jumping into chapter 12. And this is the story of the end of the story, basically, of David and Bathsheba, which we talked about last summer when we did our series on David. And this psalm that we've just read could very easily have been a psalm that David might have written right after his encounter here with Nathan. Nathan's confronting him with his sin, and David is repenting of that sin. 2 Samuel chapter 11, beginning at verse 26. When the wife of Uriah heard that her husband was dead, she made lamentation for him. When the mourning was over, David sent and brought her to his house, and she became his wife and bore him a son. But the thing that David had done displeased the Lord. And we jump down to chapter 12, verse 13. David said to Nathan, "I have sinned against the Lord." And Nathan said to David, "Now the Lord has put away your sin, you shall not die. Nevertheless, because by this deed you have utterly scorned the Lord, the child that is born to you shall die." Then Nathan went to his house. The Lord struck the child that Uriah's wife bore to David and became very ill. Our New Testament reading is found in Galatians chapter 2, beginning at verse 15. And it's, again, we're continuing on this letter that Paul has written to the church in the province of Galatia in Asia Minor. And in some ways, this is kind of like falling in on, it says here, eavesdropping on one end of a telephone conversation, because the text seems complicated and it's kind of one-sided as far as the argument is going. But essentially, Peter and Paul are speaking to each other, and Paul is, by letter, addressing Peter and the issues that he is dealing with. And basically, again, Paul is saying the gospel is for everybody, not just this small closed group. Galatians 2, beginning at verse 15. "We ourselves are Jews by birth and not Gentile sinners. Yet we know that a person is justified not by the works of the law, but through faith in Jesus Christ. And we have come to believe in Christ Jesus so that we might be justified by faith in Christ. And not by doing the works of the law, because no one will be justified by the works of the law. But if, in our effort to be justified in Christ, we ourselves have been found to be sinners, is Christ then a servant of sin? Certainly not. But if I build up again the very things that I once tore down, then I demonstrate that I am a transgressor. For through the law, I died to the law so that I might live to God. I have been crucified with Christ. And it is no longer I who live, but it is Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not nullify the grace of God, for if justification comes through the law, then Christ died for nothing." And the gospel reading now is from Luke 7, beginning at verse 36, and then we're jumping into chapter 8. And that's on page 66 in the New Testament part of your pew Bibles. Luke 7, beginning at verse 36. And this is some hospitality that's taking place, and in particular, Jesus is sitting with some people who other folks don't consider proper. In fact, even Jesus being in the same house as these people, he would be spoken to by the leaders of the religious order at the time. I'm trying to say it that way only to build it in context of today. It'd be like if we caught one of our Christian brothers or sisters going into an institution that Christians don't go there, we'd all be sure to take them off to the side. But Jesus was there to present his gospel message to these people. So he didn't care where he went. He just wanted to make sure they heard the gospel. Luke 7, beginning at verse 36. "One of the Pharisees asked Jesus to eat with him, and he went into the Pharisee's house and took his place at the table. And a woman in the city who was a sinner, having learned that he was eating in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster jar of ointment. She stood behind him at his feet, weeping, and began to bathe his feet with her tears and then to dry them with her hair. Then she continued kissing his feet and anointing them with the ointment. Now when the Pharisee who had invited him saw it, he said to himself, 'If this man were a prophet, he would have known who and what kind of woman this is who's touching him. She's a sinner.' Jesus spoke up and said to him, Simon, I have something to say to you. Teacher, he replied, speak. A certain creditor had two debtors. One owed 500 denarii and the other 50. When they could not pay, he canceled the debts for both of them. Now, which of them will love him more? Simon answered, I suppose the one for whom he canceled the greater debt. And Jesus said to him, you have judged rightly. And turning to the woman, he said to Simon, do you see this woman? I entered your house. You gave me no water for my feet, but she's bathed my feet with her tears and dried them with her hair. You gave me no kiss, but from the time I came in, she has not stopped kissing my feet. You did not anoint my head with oil, but she has anointed my feet with ointment. Therefore, I tell you, her sins, which were many, have been forgiven. Hence, she has shown great love. But the one whom little is forgiven loves little. And he said to her, your sins are forgiven. But those who were at the table with him began to say among themselves, who is this who even forgives sins? And he said to the woman, your faith has saved you. Go in peace. And we're at chapter 8, verse 1. Soon afterwards, he went on through cities and villages, proclaiming and bringing the good news of the kingdom of God. The 12 were with him, as well as some women who had been cured of evil spirits and infirmities. Mary, called Magdalene, from whom 7 demons had gone out. Joanna, the wife of Herod's steward, Cusa, and Susanna, and many others who provided for them out of their resources. This is the word of God. Let's join together now in singing our next hymn, hymn number 740, Make Me a Channel of Your Peace. Father, I pray that the words of my mouth, meditation of my heart, will be acceptable before you and your people. Holy Spirit, speak to us this day. Remind us of our baptism. Remind us of our repentance and all that Christ has given us in the grace of God. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. The dictionary defines sin, the word sin, this way: an immoral act considered to be a transgression against divine law. Catechism of the Catholic Church says this about the word sin. Sin is an offense against reason, truth, and right conscience. It is failure in genuine love for God and neighbor caused by a perverse attachment to certain goods. It wounds the nature of man and injures human solidarity. It's been defined as an utterance, a deed, or a desire contrary to eternal law. It's complicated sounding, that one. Presbyterian Church in Canada, in its document Living Faith that I talked about earlier, says this about sin. Sin alienates us from God. It offends the holiness of God. It separates us from our Lord. It leads to spiritual death. It mars the divine image in us and infects our relationship with others and with ourselves. Still a lot, it seems, and still kind of wow, I guess, in the way it gets complicated sounding. I told you before, and I'll tell you again, the biblical word sin comes from a word that means missing the mark, and specifically firing an arrow at a target and not hitting the middle, not hitting the bullseye, missing the mark. I think it's much simpler in that sense to put it that way for us in our minds. God demands that when we shoot that arrow, that it goes dead center in the target, and it never does, because that's what sin is. It keeps us from being able to do that always. The problem is, in popular culture, I think sin gets kind of defined more as all the stuff you're not supposed to do that you'd rather do because it's probably a lot more fun than not, you know, not, this whole thing comes about, doesn't it? Sin's doing all the things that you want to do. Sinning is dancing on Sundays back in the day. Sin is going to the movies back in the day, right? Sin is smoking. Sin is having a drink. Sin is, you know, you put it on. When I first became a Christian, and I was around Bryce's time, age rather, and I was beginning to read a lot of documents, it was interesting. I got a book on Christian life and living, and it was printed in the UK. And over there, this is back in the 70s, so it was forbidden for Christian women to wear makeup. Okay, to smoke, but no makeup. So I'm telling my Christian friends over here, I guess it's okay to smoke. What do you mean it's okay to smoke? This is a girl who had makeup on at the time telling me this story. It's, no, you can't smoke. And I don't get this. So sin gets called by popular culture all kinds of things. Let me read about the gospel that I read last week again from Corinthians. Actually, a little below from what I read last Sunday, because Paul, when he's talking about that gospel message in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, also talks about sin. At verse 54, he says this, "When this perishable body puts on imperishability, and this mortal body puts on immortality, then the saying that is written will be fulfilled. Death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting?" And here's the key. "The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved, be steadfast, immovable, always excelling in the work of the Lord, because you know that in the Lord your labor is not in vain." Sin, whatever that may be for the moment, is what separates us from God. It's in this world. It's in us, clearly. It was in Adam and Eve when they disobeyed God back in the Garden of Eden. And the main result of sin, listen carefully, the main result of sin is exactly what I've read in 1 Corinthians. The sting of death is sin. Death is sin. The results of sin. Not anyone, no, not anyone or anything in all of creation is free from death. Sounds kind of obvious, isn't it? You know, we all get old, we die. Nothing in all creation is free from death. Mountains die. Rivers die. If you watched a long one of those time-lapse photographies of a mountain, it will disappear. It will no longer be a mountain. So even something as immaterial in that sense, not alive in that sense, disappears. It also corrupts and corrodes and disappears. Nothing in all creation gets away from death. But, well, of course, Daniel Defoe said in 1726, Daniel Defoe is the guy that wrote Robinson Crusoe, he wrote in another book, "Things as certain as death and taxes can be more firmly believed." He's the one that said about death and taxes. This comes for all of us. But the idea is that no one escapes death. No thing escapes death. Sin entered this world back in Eden. Sin entered this world, and death is the result of that sin. We saw that in 1 Corinthians 15 when Paul was talking about Christ and what he did about that. He, Jesus, was raised on the third day in accordance with Scriptures. Jesus conquered death. This baptism that we've done this morning represents us in a symbolic way what he's done, exactly that very thing. For us, in Christ, there is no more death. There's no such thing. Yes, we get old. Yes, these bodies corrupt and corrode, rather, and yes, these bodies run out of time. But we are not lost to death. I don't have a long sermon. I'm going to stop very briefly, but the scriptures that we read this morning are emphasizing that. And one thing that inspired this for me, this thought today, was the contrast between Ray coming into our family, Bryce getting baptized, and this week I was dealing with a family outside of our congregation. They lost their mother. They had nothing, no hope. For them, death was the end. There was nothing. And the family was just heartbroken. And I know you've all experienced that with friends and family you know who have no hope. And to stand there and try to present the gospel in my presence, because it wasn't my words, but my presence was my only hope for them. They had nothing. There was nothing. For them, death was just blackness and darkness and nothing else. We don't have that. Happy are those whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered, says Psalm 32. The sting of death is gone, according to what we read in Corinthians. We are more than conquerors because of Christ. If nothing else, this baptism and this church membership this morning should remind all of us of this great life that we have given to us by God's grace, that we are forgiven of our sins. We are no longer trapped by what's at the end for everything else, which is death. Doesn't sound very cheery to be talking about that, I realize that. But that's the nub, that's the core of what Christ has done, clearly, in the gospel. He's conquered death. And we can claim that. And that's an exciting thought. That's why those scriptures that we read were so exciting. And that's why Psalm 32, we read, blessed. But in other translations, the word happy is there, and there's a good reason for that. We are so blessed that we're happy, we're elated by the fact that our transgressions are forgiven, that Christ and God has called us back into His, away from that rule of death. What a promise that we have as Christian brothers and sisters. Walking sinless in the way that we behave and interact with one another is not really a tightrope. It's not a bunch of rules of what we cannot do. And when I say the tightrope, I mean when you're walking on that tightrope, you can't walk here and you can't walk here because you're going to fall. And that's how sometimes we perceive the Christian life. I can't walk over there. I want to walk over there, but I can't walk over there. There's all the not rules. God says, here's the path for you. It's pretty wide, actually. Because I'm not doing it, me. Christ is doing it for me. And I can just walk freely where I can walk, as opposed to where I can't walk. Let's not look at that. Christ conquered death. Walking, as in Psalm 32 describes, how we walk in our lives free of sin. Happy are those whose transgression is forgiven and sin is covered. Christ did it. Christ is doing it. Christ will continue to do it. We can be happy. For just as Nathan told David, Jesus tells us now the Lord has put away your sin, you shall not die. Amen. Thank you, and God bless you. An unnamed woman went to the Pharisee's home to worship Jesus in thanks for her new life. And like her, Christ sets us free with gifts of mercy, grace, and love. Our sins are forgiven and our lives are made whole. Let us pour out our offering and our thanksgiving before God now. Thank you. every single day. You forgive us our sins. You help us to repent and turn about. You create new life in us. Lord, use this, our offering this day, to create new life, to create help where it's needed in your community. Help us to help others. Through this offering, we dedicate it to you, to your use. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Please be seated. This morning we remember a couple of names in particular, Isabel Pullen and Jack Rivett, who are mending from surgeries that they've had. And I know that there are still others in our congregation that are quietly dealing with some various health issues in their lives. So we want to remember them as well. So let's bow our heads in prayer. Lord, we thank you that you give us this great opportunity and wonderful privilege to come before you and say these words of prayer. Like, how does this work? It's a mystery. But we know that you hear us. We know that you are a spirit of wisdom and compassion and love. And you ask us to pray and you ask us to share these things with you. And so, Lord, we do hold up those two names in particular. I know there's many others, but Isabel and Jack are recovering from some surgery and they have some ups and downs they've had to face, and we ask that you will continue to be with them and their families. And Lord, I also especially pray for the many in our congregation who are struggling with different illnesses and whatnot. Some we know about, some are quiet, and just, Lord, this is a time that can be very stressful for all of any of us when we're not feeling well. It can be stressful and it can be isolating in other ways too. So we pray, Lord, that you shine a light in them, all the folks in our congregation that are not feeling well physically and emotionally and spiritually. Shine a light that they cannot be isolated, but know that your hand is at work in their lives. Lord, in silence, each of us has someone we can offer to you, a name. Every one of us represents these hundreds of people that we know, each one of us. We're connected in so many ways. Well, I'm certain, Lord, that there's someone for each person here today that we've got on our hearts and we want to present to you. So in silence, we offer that name. Lord, we thank you so much that you hear us. Even words that we don't say out loud, you hear us, you answer us, you heal us, you love us, you care for us, and most of all, Lord, you've conquered death, the thing that sits above all of us. We are conquerors, more than conquerors, in Christ who has saved us. Thank you for listening to our prayers, God. Thank you for answering our prayers. And thank you for the prayers that you're working on actively right now. We can claim all of that in the mighty name of Jesus, and we do so. Amen. Let's turn to our final hymn this morning, 774, very appropriate, God Forgave My Sin. and just in everything you do. Forgive those who do you wrong. Be merciful and kind, especially to those who are weaker than you. And be guided by the cross of Christ, who is your judge and your salvation. Remember your baptism, each of us, this day. You are made in the image of God, saved by the Son of God, given life and faith by the Spirit of God. The Triune God loves you and will love you forever. Amen. Wanted to add that as we go downstairs to share in fellowship and time to have a snack and a drink, don't forget Ray and Bryce. We got some new members. Make sure you walk over and say hi to them and welcome them and into our midst. God bless you. Thank you. Please be seated.